Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here today and for braving the cold. It's very nice to see you, and it's great to be able to spend this season with you as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus and consider the implications to us in this time and in this age. Christmas Eve was, well, pretty wonderful. We had, I think, a very successful dinner between services. I think we had about 60 people. That's really good. I think that as we've watched this dinner sort of progress over the years from being something that we started for staff and key volunteers who couldn't go home to have dinner because of our service times, and that small fellowship, and now we've seen it increase to something where the Bosniak imam comes every year. It's his third year now, coming with his folks, and we have just a lot of guests this year. Somebody actually accepted our invitation, in the bulletin. If you don't have somewhere to go, please come. And this was great. It was great to have families from the church there as well. And, I wonder sometimes if this isn't a great way to go to the community as well and to say, hey, there shouldn't be any lonely people, especially on that night of the year. Don't you agree? Because the thing is that, the birth of Jesus ought to change things, shouldn't it? I mean, we've argued before, and I think very convincingly from Scripture and from history, that the coming of Jesus Christ does change everything. And, really that leaves it up to you and I to live as changed people. And one of the things that we have in our community is that we have loneliness. We have isolation. And maybe that's because you are an elder and, you are the last. And I don't know, your kids have run off somewhere or whatever, and or maybe never had kids, and you're alone. I don't know. Maybe you're a widow or a widower. Maybe you're a divorced person. Maybe you're one of these young people that we read about that just doesn't have real relationships with people. They just have them online, and maybe all your online friends are busy and you'd rather not pop a frozen dinner in the microwave, but you want to be with people. One of the great challenges, I think, of an enterprise like this is simply, how do we get people to talk to each other? It's so funny to me, because every year we come, and there are a lot of exceptions to this, but still, mostly, we sit with a couple of chairs between us and the next little group, family group, It's just so funny. And I don't know how to change that. I don't know if that just comes naturally, or if you have to stage things or whatever, but I'm just glad that we have this opportunity, and I hope that we can further use it to the glory of God. I think at 5 o'clock, there wasn't a seat left. Those pews over there under the windows were all full, and those under those windows were all full. There just wasn't any room for anybody else, and I was about ready to set up chairs. I was all psyched up for that because, that would just be, wow, that would be too much. Put me into a happiness coma for a couple of weeks afterwards. But my goodness, we came right up to that point, I think, and I don't remember ever seeing it so full in the last 8 years or so anyway. And just, I think everything was lovely. And I think that today we can all just sort of breathe in a little bit and say, well, that was good. That was something beautiful for Jesus. And if you were here, I hope that you experienced that. And if you weren't, I hope that you had a good time wherever your travels took you, and that you have come back restored. Office has been closed for like 3 days. It's been kind of nice to work from home. I went from 200 unanswered emails to 80, so I feel like I'm making progress and getting things done. Got to do a lot of reading, which is really good, a time to catch up. And, this all brings back, there's a point to all this, and that is this, that it is so important in the rhythm of our life, or if you have a life that doesn't have a rhythm, regardless, it is important that we all take our rest, that we have a bit of a Sabbath, that we break the frantic activity. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you are working or whether you are retired, because I hear it from retired people all the time, oh, I've never been so busy, okay? And I get that even from my own parents all the time, and I sit around wondering, well, what are you doing? But no, they're busy, and, you know, they feel it, and they're a little bit stressed by all the things that they have to do. And, you know, it's nice not to have that. And I struggle a lot with guilt. Because, as you know, one of the things that I'm particularly agitated by are lazy Christians. I think that a lot of times we just sit around too much. We don't put into practice what it is that we believe. And I spend a lot of time running around stirring things up, and that's true. But it's nice to have that break and to say, well, if somebody really needs the clothes closet, or somebody really needs meals, or somebody really needs whatever, we're going to trust Jesus that he's going to give them our phone number and we're going to be able to make contact. But otherwise, we're just going to kind of close things up for a few days and just breathe and just sit before the Lord and give thanks for this monumental invasion of our world by our Lord Jesus Christ. And just to bask in his continuing presence with us through the Holy Spirit. And then to contemplate how it is then that we are to live in light of so great a salvation and so great a coming to us. So I'd like to start today with a few verses from Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. It's the first 18 verses. You can also find this printed in the back pages of your bulletin. And it stands written this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But behold, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him, and then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was written through the prophet was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Well, there are a few things I think that we need to keep in mind about this. First and foremost is this, that since Jesus came into the world, people have been trying to kill him. And we can't forget that. Because I think a lot of times we just kind of get comfortable with the fact that everybody likes Jesus. Jesus polls really, really high. Jesus' personal approval ratings are like 95%. If you ask anybody in these United States, what do you think about Jesus? Overwhelmingly, they're down with Jesus. They hate the church. Think we're a bunch of hypocritical lunatics, and a lot of times we are, and that's just because we're sinful, and we just have to own that and live with that and try to be different. But the deal is that people like Jesus, and we get comfortable with that. And we think, oh, okay, well, that's fine. But you know, the Jesus that people like is a Jesus that maybe isn't the whole picture of who Jesus is. And maybe it's the difference between being two-dimensional, like a piece of paper, and being three-dimensional, like you and I. Think about this. All during his ministry, Jesus made people angry. We always think about gentle Jesus, meek and mild, and we think about Jesus, he's forgiven me my sins. It means I can do anything because I got this get out of hell free card called Jesus. And so oftentimes, you know, we live as if Jesus is just sort of codependent on us. He loves us so much that we can just push the limits with him, and it's okay because he'll love us again in the morning. It'll be just fine. Oh my goodness. You know, Jesus came to earth to save us. Jesus came to ask us, tell us, demand of us that we repent, that we change the direction that we were going and live in a Godward way. He told us that we couldn't be selfish. He told us that the world wasn't all about us, that it's all about him, actually. He told us that we needed to change, and the way to change was through him. And you know, they did kill him, didn't they? Praise God, he rose again. But this is who Jesus is, and to be his follower, actually, is to expect no different. Because when you follow Jesus, and when you speak his words, people will get angry. I don't know if they'll come after you with a mob and try to kill you, but I can pretty well attest to the fact that, yes, they will at least try to murder your reputation. And they will try to shame you and push you away, call you a liar and a troublemaker and all kinds of things. We're proud bearers of the name of Jesus who redeemed us by his blood. But because we bear that name, we go through life also, I think, with a great deal of struggle. Oftentimes wonder if that's how we know if we're living our faith or not. Are we experiencing that struggle? Are we experiencing a pushback from the world because we have chosen to follow a different master? Another thing that I think is interesting about this is that, you know, the wise men came, and they're from the east. And where's the east? Well, over that way, across the river, right? Across the river and across the next ocean and across the next one after that. It's in the Middle East. It's in what we call the cradle of civilization. It's a place that's very much in the news these days. And what's so interesting is that that's the place that Christianity comes from. That's the place where our faith was born. You know, a lot of times we talk about Eastern religion and we're talking about Buddhism or whatever, but Christianity also has its roots deeply embedded in Middle East, in the East. And so these gentlemen come from the East, the Magi, the wise ones, the leaders or the kings, and they present their gifts, showing that all the world will one day come and bow down to Jesus. Prince Charles, you remember Prince Charles? It's Queen Elizabeth's baby boy. He recently made a statement, and he expressed his concern that Christianity should vanish from the land of its birth because things are really bad in that area right now. Things are really, really hard. We can see it in our own Christian Iraqi families who come here. And what is their ticket out? What is their guarantee of refugee status? It's because they follow Jesus. This is that simple identification with him. In Syria, you can see it as well. Many, many stories about the targeting of, quote, Christian, unquote, villages. Do they have strategic importance, or is it because they're associated with the name? And of course, the interesting thing is that not everyone who's associated with the name may be even a real follower. One of the most difficult things that happens, I think, in these kinds of situations is when people become identified with their faith as if it were an ethnic identification. We also saw that in Europe. We saw people who were born, let's say, in Denmark, and they were Christian. Why? Because they were born in Denmark, and that makes you a Christian, because that's the way that the world works. It's interesting. And what happens when our faith becomes just another part of who we are and not the totality and not the real thing? Then we become weak. And then I think that our community, our faith, our churches, they begin to die. We're not strong anymore because we're not living according to the teachings of Jesus. Rather, we're simply living out something that we understand as a part of our identity. Jesus demands the whole of everything. He demands the whole of you and I. It isn't and ISU and U of I. Did you get that? The whole of you and I. No. Oh. Come on. Lighten up a little bit. The whole of all of us, right? The whole of who we are. There's not room for anything else. He doesn't want to share pride of place. We are his completely and utterly. There just isn't any part way with Jesus. And I think that that's so radically important. How do you live out your faith in a situation in which people really are trying to kill you because of the name? Contemplate that. Something for us to think about. This morning we're going to talk about the work of a certain church called Beshara. It's an evangelical church, Beshara is. When you see the pictures, you'll wonder, well, it looks just like ours. Ceiling tiles, fluorescent lights, big pulpit thing, big Bible on the altar, all the rest of the stuff. It's just like us. And yet here they stand on the front lines in northern Jordan, trying to welcome and minister to refugees, regardless of their faith, from Syria. I think that, you know, we talked and began this message with everything has to change because of Jesus. Jesus was born in very humble circumstances, born in a barn. I think one of the things that ought to change is that people ought not to have to live that way anymore. And I'm not talking about that this is some sort of entitlement that they have. Is it some sort of government mandate or something? No, this is deeper than that. This is because Jesus came and was born in his humble circumstances. Therefore, we, you and I, ought to make sure that every traveler is welcome. That every stranger finds a place. That people, because they are beautiful and made by God, that we ought to find a way to welcome them and to give them a place in our community. Jesus was also a refugee. It's interesting, isn't it? They sought to take his life. Herod committed a terrible slaughter, which kings were allowed to do because they owned their people and they could have them live or die at their own will. They were the law. They were above everything. They determined what the law was. And so Jesus and his family have to hit the road. They have to escape from this madman, lunatic dictator. And you know, it's still the fate of so many people in our world. And I think sometimes it's a little overwhelming because, you know, you sit down and you watch the news and it's like crisis here, crisis there, crisis there, crisis there. But we never want to lose sight of the fact that every one of these crises, No matter how big or how small, how close or how far, those are real people, affected by things that are completely outside of their control. We have to think about the innocent ones, just as Jesus himself, born as a baby, born meek, mild, born in need of protection. Still, the world is filled with little babies, with their mothers, their fathers, sisters and brothers, just trying to live. And we have beautiful opportunities to be able to help, even in little ways. I think that's one of the reasons that the ministry that we have with refugee people in Des Moines is something that's very close to the heart of God. Because here are people who are strangers. Here are people who may not share our perspectives or our ways, and yet still created by God, traveling through or making their life here. We need to welcome them. Because when we do, we are learning the lessons of Jesus' life, that there should be no more strangers, no more born out in the cold, no more lonely, no more isolation. And you know, this is a great lesson for us and a great way to do evangelism as well. Because when you go and you welcome the stranger, you make friends. And when you make friends and share people's lives, then they have the opportunity to see Jesus at work in you. I think that's why I think it's so important that we follow Jesus when he says go, even if it's just across the street, to get into the lives of other people so that he, through you and I, can bring about his salvation. So that he, through you and I, can bring about their redemption and make them part of his great community. I want to ask my brother Kareem to come up now. He's a part of our community and has been. It's been like 3 years, I think. There's a little blurb written up in your bulletin about him. Kareem is just back from Jordan, and Kareem visited the refugee camps there. How are you? That's good. Welcome. I'm so glad that you came today. And here's the thing I want you to know about Kareem. Here, we got to step out all the way here. Don't worry. It'll support us.
Good morning.
Good morning. There you go. Kareem is not exactly a morning person. And so this represents a sacrifice that I'm going to thank you for very much, that you would get up so early in the morning just to share this time with us. And I'm also going to thank you ahead of time for the fact that although he speaks English very, very well, he's going to talk to you today in a way that, well, he's not accustomed to, right? Yes. And so it's a beautiful thing, and I thank you for your courage in doing that. Absolutely.
Only sorry about my English, it's a little weak.
No, it's not. Come on, let's come up all the way. Here, you can put your thing on here if you want. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Yes, I have been working with a refugee in Des Moines since I arrived here more than 5 years ago, first with the Lutheran service and then later with the Zion Lutheran Church and others. I had the opportunity to travel to the Jordan and partner with the Americans organizations that also went to Jordan to minister to Syrian refugees. Syrian refugees come from many different backgrounds and religions, but they are all God's children, and we are all equal in his separate, eyes. From the beginning of the world, people have suffered persecution for the other beliefs. Jesus was a refugee who also suffered protection and then was crucified. Well, I was in Jordan I saw the suffering the Syrian refugees were enduring firsthand and want to share their situations with the American people. After we arrive in Jordan, we went to town near the border with the Syria called Al Mafraq, where are they visited at the church called Bishara. This church is involved in ministering to the Syrian refugee in Jordan. For the next 10 days, partnered with the church to reach out to the refugee from early in the morning until late at night. We traveled around the town of Al Mafraq visiting the refugees. They were living in many different types of the structure and everything in every
in varying levels of completion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Completion. Some lived in the tent. Was other lived in old houses or buildings of the sort of the others. Many did not have doors or glasses in the window, and none had insulation, so they were exposed to the elements. It was already getting cold when I was there. It snowed one day, and it has only getting colder. Since then, the refugees cannot heat their houses, and they are always cold. Many of the kids were sick and cold, not get better because of the cold living condition. The team and I were only able to get into the main refugees camp on the last day. To the safety, we did hover, go to around the camp and bring over it. The Syrian refugees are not allowed to work in Jordan, so parents are unable to provide for their children and families. This makes team involved since they are completely dependent on the donations from the organization. So, and the government aid, this has led to many problems with the legal Jordanians, because Jordan has been over with the refugee since 2003, when the Iraqi fallings the war faced something coming, and more refugee arrive every day. I guess to school and medical facility is very limited. Our team brought some medical supplies with us, and not
enough
to meet the need. The medical service are very basic, and there are not supplies
for specialists,
yes, or
equipment,
mm-hmm. Yes. To treat serious
illnesses.
I will going back to Jordan in the next few months, and I am hoping that a member of the Zion Church will be willing to help the Syrian refugee by the Bushara Church in Jordan. Please contact Pastor John if you would like to help. Also want to thank Zion Lutheran Church for helping the team with the expenses on the last trip. Please keep the Syrian refugees in your praying. Pray that their bicycles needs will be met and that all those houses do not yet know Jesus will see his love through our friends.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
That was beautiful. Yeah, that was beautiful.
Thank you very much.
No. I got some questions, though. Yes. Will you answer a couple of questions?
Yes.
Did you go to Syria before the civil war? Had you ever been there?
I go maybe 50 times there.
50 times to Syria. Okay. Would you tell us something about what Syria is like? Because I think a lot of times we think about that part of the world, and it's like, okay, these are people, they live in huts, you know, they don't have electricity maybe. I mean, you know, it's not very modern or something like that. What was Syria like before the war?
Before the war, you know, this is many from the Arabic country there who catch the government dictator there.
Yes,
this is the problem. So only the people wait for the government.
Yeah.
They have money, they have everything, but the other people is poor.
They're poor.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the life in Arabic country. So not all people is the same, it's different.
Yeah.
Yes, from people to people.
Well, in
the life there is very bad also.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, I wonder too, because I was surprised to know that it snowed. Because it's hot there, you know. What's the deal
there?
The
also,
cold, yeah.
In the winter is cold. Sometimes
it's cold.
Snow, yes, but
yeah.
Not like Iowa.
Right. Well.
Yes.
Okay. Nothing's like Iowa for the cold and the wind. Thank God. But you know, here's the deal. It is cold. And you said people are living in partially finished buildings. And if you're looking at the screens, you can see some of those houses. And these are houses that aren't finished, okay? And people are living in them, but they have to pay to live in them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they have to pay rent. Where does the money come from to pay rent?
This is in Jordan?
Yes.
Yes, this is the problem. They have the family there. The United Nations, they give them like some coupon, some like paper to go take food.
Yeah, kind of like a FIP card or something like that.
Something
I mean, it's
like
a,
so they sell this.
Right.
They sell to pay the rent.
Right.
And this is not enough.
So then they can't have anything to eat because they sell the food card in order to pay for the place to.
And
why aren't they in tents and stuff? I mean, it's a refugee camp. They ought to be tents and stuff like that in the United Nations saying, hi, welcome. Oh, it's so good to have you. You've been through so much. We're, you know, come here, just sit down, don't worry about anything. But it's not like that, is it?
Yes, not like that.
What is it like?
Why?
What's it like? What is it like? How is it?
The
camps.
The camp there is too much problem there. Because we don't go inside the camp because problem is there. More than like 100,000 people there.
Yeah.
Yes. It's too much problem there. Because they don't have like food, not food. They don't have work. So it's problem there.
And there are like 2 million Syrians in this situation.
Yes.
In refugees all over the place.
Yes.
Living in partially finished buildings or trying to pay for apartments in Turkey, in Lebanon, and other places, right?
And only I want to say only one church there. This is the Bushara Church in this town. It's a small town. It's close to the border of Syria. And the people, every morning, they make a line to come to the church to try to take some help.
So what you're saying is there is a line to get into that church every day.
Yes, every day. You see, early morning is many people coming there out. They try to take something from the church. And the church, you know, not can support all these people.
Mm-hmm.
Because only she not have all this money to go to the people.
All right. Tell me a little bit about this church. What's it like?
This is a small church, but it's a very beautiful church. This is a first time I go to like Arabic church there, mm-hmm. and I sing with them.
Yeah. Yes, what was that like for you to sing in Arabic for the first time?
Yes, this is for me something like special.
Yeah.
Yes, it makes me is very happy. You know, here because my English is not good, sometimes I not do exactly what I want to do.
Yes, and you have such a beautiful voice. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah, that's good. How can we help this church?
We need help, you know. We need, I working with, you know, mm-hmm. with the group, you help me for this group, and we need, like, to take. We want buy food for him. We want buy blanket for him. We want buy heater for him. Uh-huh. We need, like, I don't know if the church can do this or not. We need to send letter to the government uh-huh. to open the door for the refugee.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Because the government is afraid of the refugees because their unemployment rate is already very high.
Yes, right? But these people, you know, they need help, really.
Yeah,
they need help.
Would it be like having people living in empty houses around this church mm-hmm. and like in the woods over here mm-hmm. and so on? I mean, would that be kind of similar to things that are yeah. going on there? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, in the future, we will, near future, we'll be coming with a plan, something to say, well, this is how we think that we can respond. And I think, you know, what you need to remember is that a little bit will go a very long way. And that, you know, these are people in real and desperate need. And, you know, as we said, everything has to change because Jesus was born in that stable. And, you know, we need to make sure that these people have enough to survive. And that hopefully one day they can go home to whatever's left and start again. But in the meantime, they have very little that they can do because they can't work. And so every day is a matter of fighting to survive for them.
And last, I would say, last letter I received, some people, until now, they call me from this, because we make friends with these people.
Kareem gives everybody his phone number, and so, you know, it's a...
I think the picture is here. They have one family in one blanket.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent to me this picture.
Yeah.
They're saying it's very cold. Please help us.
Yeah. And you can see that picture outside. I think it's over by the coat racks out there on your way out. You can look at that. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming up, and I want you to step back from the edge, too, because you're making me nervous. All right, it's good. And you know, God bless you. Let's pray, and then we'll go. Lord, we pray that, you know, in the light of situations like this where we don't know what to do, I mean, we wish we could just walk across the street and dish out soup and things, and that's not how we can help here. So we need your insight to teach us what to do. I pray that you'd stimulate our imaginations. I pray that you would soften our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to help these. Lord, you said that we had ministered to you. When we minister to those who are without clothing or thirsty or hungry, those who have nowhere to live or strangers in a strange land, so, Lord, help us to minister to you through them. And, Lord, be glorified in them. And we pray, Lord, that the witness of the Bushara Church would be a credit to you. We pray that we might be able to come alongside this church and that we might be able to be church together. And in so doing, Lord, that your kingdom would advance and that, Lord, the kingdom of this world would be shaken by seeing how these Christians love one another, help one another, in order to bring about the glory of your name, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for being born in a stable. We thank you for dying on a cross. We thank you for rising again. And we thank you that because of your great life among us, everything is different. And the world must change. So, Lord, empower us to be the kind of people who change the world for the sake of your name. Thank you for Kareem's safe return. And we pray, Lord, that in the future we might send him back with our gifts. And now, Lord, we pray for those who are cold. Lord, your word tells us not to say, well, be blessed and be warm. But, Lord, that we must find a way to help. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that. And we pray that you would bring help from many places. That great and wondrous things might be done and that your people might be saved. And now, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you,
thank you all very much. God bless you. Okay.